Some say we're back to business as usual. But what does that mean?
The enemy of our soul, Satan, knows that in order to keep Jesus from coming back, or he believes, what he needs to do is eliminate the Jews from the planet, hence from river to the sea, Palestine will be free. In other words, get rid of all the Jews, get them out of Israel, because Jesus says, I'm coming back, I'm going to be there, and so will you Jews. That really grinds a whole lot of people, but Jesus said that. Not only that, but also he wants to eliminate from the planet so there's no chance of Israel ever being inhabited by the Jews. So that's why all of these things are going on. When you see them, Satan, he goes after the geographical location of Israel, he goes after the nation of Israel, and he's going after the Jew. It doesn't matter if the Jew is on the left, doesn't matter if the Jew is on the right, but that is the intent. So that's why we see these things.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan has a provocative discussion with Tom Hughes. Is a new American administration going to stop the rush to what is outlined in Revelation 13? We don't think so, but we're heading into interesting times for sure. Here is today's programming.
I was talking with Bill Federer when we were there. Both of you guys might have been standing there when we were talking about it, but he said, when it comes to where we are right now with Trump being elected, he said, globalism, these globalists aren't going to go away. Mm-hmm. He said, all they're waiting for is just a crack in the door. They will come back with a vengeance way harder than they ever were before. And when he said that, I couldn't help but think of, in the book of Genesis, sin is crouching at the door, mm-hmm. waiting to pounce on you. Folks, we can't let our guard down. We need to be pressing forward. And the other thing that happens is when things go good, our character, just everything, it's just easy. And we want the easy life. If we go back to, let's say, 2019 and then earlier, both of us, or all three of us, have been teaching Bible prophecy for a long time. It was different back 2019 and previously. I remember sometimes talking about it. You'd be invited to churches to go. We all would be invited to churches. A lot of those doors have since closed. Hmm. But then others, since 2019, there's been a lot more hunger. Well, mm-hmm. that hunger going to now stop for, mm-hmm. we're going to find out. I believe we're going to be finding out quite a bit here over the next weeks. Very interesting dynamic as we see everything going this direction. But this global system and the powers that be that are behind it, they aren't going to slow down. What's coming out of the tech world isn't going to slow down. They're not going to stop listening to us. All of a sudden, they're not just going to shut off their machines and say, well, Trump won. Let's not listen to anybody. Right. Let's not eavesdrop anymore. Let's not know everything that's on their laptop. Let's not do any more tracking. Let's not build any more devices. Let's not be innovative. Let's not have any more vision. No, they're not going to do any of that. Now, let's just forget about digital currency. Now, it's all gone. No way. I think they're going to seize this opportunity while nobody is looking to build even more.
So glad you can join me today. I hope that little soundbite of my guest piqued your curiosity, and I'm going to get to it in just a moment. But I have a lot on my mind for today's programming. I'm going to be joined by Tom Hughes in just a moment. We have, among other things, a potential for World War III at any moment. And it's the consensus of many that the current administration is literally stirring up as much chaos as possible for the incoming administration. Some current leaders in Washington have encouraged Ukraine to provoke Russia in such a way that Russia would respond with nuclear weapons. And folks, this is more than just wars and rumors of wars, a lot more. I also want to talk for a few minutes about a recent Terry James article, and he is one of the finest thinkers online that I know of and writers, and an article he wrote questioning back to business as usual, ? I'll read two short paragraphs. He says, Jesus tells us that it will be business as usual right up until the moment he removes believers from the planet. There's no man-made worldwide catastrophe in Christ's prophecy. As a matter of fact, Jesus says all will be relatively normal in terms of human activity until that removal. Then he will be revealed by way of his cataclysmic judgment that begins to devastate the earth. But it is God who causes the cataclysm. And then he closes. This is all I'm going to read. I went on to say in the series that business as usual, like in the days of Lot in Sodom, meant that business would become more or less booming, not on a downward trajectory like during these last 4 years. In other words, with the incoming president in January, how might this change? Add to that is the concern of many in America, the sense that good times certainly could be coming back. We can let our guard down. Well, we have some adults in leadership again, so let's get complacent. Let's go back to business as usual. We've had something happen at the International Criminal Court in The Hague, Netherlands. I might get to that, I hope. And if possible, we'll try to talk about some of the top Bible prophecy stories in 2024. Tom Hughes, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Jan. Wonderful to be here. Thank you so much.
I open with a clip of you, and it's referring to the globalists. You were on Prophecy Pros, by the way. I want to give credit to Jeff Kinley and Todd Hampson. And I talk about the globalists a lot, Tom, and they are in turmoil. And America has elected a president who is not one of them. Tell me where you think this is going.
I look at this and think what they're not going to do is just lay down and back off and say, okay, we're done here. Let's just take our toys and go home. I believe what has happened with the Trump election is they're more driven now even than they were before. They have their date of 2030. We've been hearing about it for a long time. They are going to press toward that date, and they're too prideful. We think of Isaiah chapter 14, where the enemy, Satan, Lucifer himself says, I will ascend to the heavens. I will be like the Most High. I will be like God. This is his opportunity, and he works through people that are on his side on this planet. They're full of pride. They're not going to allow Trump or his administration to get in their way of achieving their plan. In their mind, they may be thinking, hey, it's going to take us a little bit longer to get there. But I assure you, it's not going to take any longer than God has determined. Mm-hmm. Everything is moving along exactly according to God's timetable. In Daniel chapter 9, God says, 70 weeks are determined for your people, for your holy city, Daniel. And the word determined is settled. God has settled it. He has a date. The final 7-year period is coming according to God's timetable. But I believe with the Trump election, it is already a motivator to these globalists to figure out another way to achieve their plan, because they will. All of these globalists aren't going away. They aren't going to fold up. The Silicon Valley isn't going to close down and say, okay, we lost. We tried to interfere and it didn't work. We better just join them. No, they're not going to join except if they have the possibility of achieving their global power by joining. But it's not going to slow this down at all. It's going to happen exactly according to God's timetable.
And I have an article in front of me, and I'm not going to read it, but the headline is Scott Bessent, and he is the new head of the Treasury Department. Big headline, Scott Bessent sees a coming, quote, global economic reordering, and he wants to be a part of it. So maybe we haven't gotten rid of every single globalist. Here, this new head of the Treasury says he wants to be a part of the global economic reordering. I'm assuming that's globalism.
I would assume so. It was Joe Scarborough and whoever it is that does the program with on MSNBC. They went and visited Mar-a-Lago to see Trump.
Yes.
You're thinking, okay, if we can't beat him, let's join him. Or it also shows you that these people have no depth of any righteousness. They're willing to go with whatever direction the wind is blowing them in order for them to have success. So these people aren't going to go away. They have a global agenda, and they are going to seek to achieve it because it's going to benefit them personally. Plus, I think of Daniel chapter 11, where it seems very clear that when it comes to the time of Antichrist, when he does rise to power, that he's going to be blessing those who are part of his cabinet, so to speak, as part of his incoming administration. And by the way, just to be clear, I'm not saying Trump is that at all.
Yeah.
I'm just saying when we get to this global system, we already have the understanding of what people are like. They are going to be willing to just join that system, whatever it is, in order to achieve their global dreams, their utopia, because they're building a world where man is at the top, not God.
Yes.
They're going to be talking about Jesus. They don't want God. They have a utopian world with man at the top. And whatever it takes to achieve that, that's what they're going to do.
Here is Mr. Arch Globalist himself. Folks, I've played this clip before. This is not really new news. We got new listeners. And I think they need to hear Yuval Noah Harari saying, the election of Donald Trump, it's the end of the global order. So these heads of the globalists are exploding about now.
Are you concerned that Trump might be elected again shortly?
I think it's very likely. And if it happens, it is likely to be the death blow. to what remains of the global order. And he says it openly. Now, again, it should be clear that many of these politicians, they present a false dichotomy, a false binary vision of the world, as if you have to choose between patriotism and globalism, between being loyal to your nation and being loyal to some kind of global government or whatever.
We haven't had the death of the global order, Tom Hughes, and Harari, he may be cowering in fear right now because of Donald Trump, but they haven't gone very far.
No, they haven't. And Jim, I find this interesting too. He brings up nationalism and globalism. It was Brandon Holdhouse, Pastor Brandon. You've had him on your program many a time.
Yeah.
We are at a conference together. He brought up the statue that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his vision. And you come down to the end of the statue, the last day's empire, and you have feet that are mixed partly of iron and partly of clay. And he brought up a great point. He said, I believe this system that's partly strong and partly weak, partly iron, partly clay, is nationalism and globalism. Mm-hmm. There's going to be an attempt to merge them, but they will never merge. And if you look at it through world history, they never have been able to merge. The Roman Empire understood it. The Greeks understood it. The Babylonians, the Assyrians, they all understood that if you're Italian, you're going to be Italian. You're not going to assimilate real well to the global system. Wherever it is you're from, if you're French, you're still French. And this is one of the reasons why you have so many issues with the borders in Europe and with the borders here right. in America. People are not going along with it. But nevertheless, it speaks to the problems that the globalists will have. And I think as believers and understanders of Bible prophecy, we need to understand this global system is alive and well, is pressing forward. Satan is the prince and power of the air, the god of this world. And it's not going to be a system that is going to be 100% successful. So as we see it being built, it's going to have the resistors. It's going to have the problems. We even know when Antichrist comes to power from Daniel chapter 11. That there are certain nations he does not have victory over. So it's not going to be a perfectly successful global system. They're going to try to make it be that way. It won't be completely successful. They will have their problems. It's also going to be a very short-lived kingdom, the shortest global empire in the history of the world, a maximum of seven years. That's a bit of a praise report because the real system we look forward to is when Jesus comes back. But we don't need to be afraid of it, but it's being built. So if we hear of chinks in the armor, or Yuval Noah Harari saying it's over. Oh no, it's not over. Satan is the supreme globalist. Believe me, he is pressing forward. It's like behind the curtain, these people, including Yuval Noah Harari, are still hard at work, staying up at night, trying to figure out what their next moves are going to be.
If you just join me, you are listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line Tom Hughes. You can learn more at hopeforourtimes.com, hopeforourtimes.com. Tom, I'm just transitioning here a little bit because I referenced the Terry James article, and his column was not a new idea. It's just he writes it so beautifully, better than anybody I know. And he's talking about this business as usual, which we really see in the Bible. And I think we should explain that because you're concerned, like I am, that people are going to think we're safe now. We don't have so many worries because, again, we don't have a globalist running things in America. We certainly still have things running globally around the world, and we're going to relax. Speak to that, please, because we have to.
Wow. When I read Terry James' article, I said, hey, he's saying exactly what I've been trying to warn people against using the same passages in the Bible that I've used. I look at this in Luke chapter 21. Jesus is talking about the days of Noah and the days of Lot. In there, he brings up what the days were. He says they were eating and drinking, giving in marriage, planting, sowing. In other words, everything's going good. And I find it so interesting. Jan, I've been saying this for years, and I've really been pounding the drum since the election, is because Jesus could have taken anything when he said, as the days of Noah and the days of Lot. He could have said they were wicked days. They were days of perversion. They were days of violence. Because they were, and those are last day signs, but Jesus chose specific other things. It's going to be going good, giving in marriage, everything's going to be wonderful, buying and selling, and it presents to me a world where business is booming. It's not just the casual, we're getting along like the last 4 years.
Yes.
It's presenting a very happy picture where people think in their minds, wow, we have made it. Now, granted, I do believe that is a passage that refers to the second coming of Christ when Jesus comes back at the end of the tribulation, ultimately, not necessarily the rapture, but we don't know the timing when things are going to be looking good. And I believe it's going to be looking good before the rapture, because we also have other passages where in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 5, we have the rapture that takes place. A few verses later, when you get to chapter 5, Paul then writes, when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction comes upon them, they shall not escape. Does that peace and safety actually begin before the rapture? And then after the rapture, people are still claiming, hey, we've made it, but they're not escaping the cataclysmic events that are coming from the Lord himself. And then one of the passages to me that really teaches this, Jan, is in Luke chapter 12. It's where Jesus is giving a parable about the master and the wedding ceremony. It's clearly a passage to me about his second coming. And he says this, whether the master returns at the second watch, blessed are you for watching and blessed are you who are waiting for him to return at the second watch. I would say even to call us home at the second watch. Blessed are you. But then he says, but if the master doesn't come until the third watch, blessed are you who are still waiting, who are still watching. I find that interesting because people at the second watch, we could say, hey, that speaks to the last 4 years. Everybody's thinking it's going to happen now. It's going to happen now. Well, we can let our guard down. It's not a coincidence that Jesus specifically chose to say, and who are still watching and waiting at the third watch, the time when people give up. The second watch we know in biblical times would have been from 9 p.m. to midnight. This hasn't happened yet. It's midnight, might as well go home. No, midnight to 3 a.m. is the third watch. And Jesus says again, blessed are you when you're still doing it, when you thought it wasn't going to happen. Jan, I look at this also with 2 Peter chapter 3. More people are going to rise up and say, 5 weeks ago, I was following all you Bible prophecy people. Now I realize you're just all wet. The scoffers will come in the last days saying, where's the promise of his coming? Walking according to their own lust.
Good observation.
But, yeah. And then also in Luke chapter 12, that very passage, Jesus, he concludes that parable and he says, for the Son of Man comes at an hour when you least expect it, when you're not expecting it. We are in a time right now, and I believe it's quite likely, we don't know for sure, but business will probably boom. People are definitely feeling like it. You look at stock markets, but still, to me, Jan, this is one of the most telling signs. I would say the fact of what's going on with Israel is obviously enormous when it comes to signs, but this one that you just asked about and mentioned is one that almost nobody pays any attention to.
Obviously, Terry did when he wrote this, and I think about it a lot, Tom, but you're right. And we've been laboring under, obviously, Bidenomics and so much that has gone wrong. And as indicated in my comments here, people are relaxing now and they're saying everything's going to turn around and happy days are here again. And that's exactly the time at which the Lord could return in the rapture, not the second coming.
Amen. And we don't know the exact timing, but the fact that we don't know the exact timing, it keeps us on the edge. And again, Jesus says, blessed are you if you're still watching on third watch. Jan, I got saved in 1988. I went to a men's conference. It was a Calvary Chapel men's conference in San Diego, probably within weeks after getting saved. One of the preachers was given a message on prophecy. I thought Jesus was coming in 1988. I thought we were going home. But you know what? I'm still here. It wasn't 1988. Here it is coming up on 40 years later, but you're still watching and waiting. And that just is evidence of the difference between someone who actually trusts in the Lord, lives by faith, knows his word is true, regardless of circumstances. You still know that he's going to call us home at any moment. The calling is imminent, but we trust in him, not just the promise of his coming. We trust in him and his timing.
I'm playing a short clip of you here, Tom, and I appreciate how you're emphasizing in this clip that, again, we're watching a setup and how you state here, particularly at the close, how prophecy, which is what we're talking about here, is speeding up. And that is the conclusion to what you're saying here.
With that being said, also, when you look at it from Israel's perspective regarding the Ezekiel 38 battle, what do you have? I believe with Iran, Iran's been totally embarrassed by Israel up to this point. Russia's been embarrassed by Israel. And you have a geopolitical setup because of what Israel has done for Iran and Russia both to say, hey, we're going to come at Israel with everything we can. We've been embarrassed, and they will do whatever vengeful act against Israel that they believe they need to and want to. I believe that's the perfect setup, what happened with Israel over the last several months, perfect setup for the catalyst to bring about that Ezekiel 38 battle coming in the future. However, one dynamic that was clearly not in play up until now was when we look at Ezekiel 38, verse 11, Israel needs to be dwelling in a place of peace and safety when the Ezekiel 38 battle happens. So Israel isn't there. Israel is constantly on guard. Well, you bring in the Trump factor and you start looking at the normalization agreement, you look at Abraham Accords. I believe now things will proceed in Israel to rebuild Gaza. Gaza will be dealt with. Trump's going to be behind Israel. Gaza's going to be dealt with. I believe there's a very good chance that we're going to start to see things winding towards some type of peace. I'm not saying the annual chapter 9 peace agreement of Antichrist. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that, but definitely this normalization agreement that was pre-October 7, 2023, based on what Trump had done before with the Abraham Accords. And by the way, I'm also not saying the Abraham Accords were good either. I'm just laying out what I see coming, and I see something coming like the Marshall Plan after World War II to rebuild Gaza, to press forward with beautification. There's going to be money that I see that's going to be flowing in and out of Israel based on this. Saudi Arabia is going to be involved. If you go back pre-October 7, 2023, Saudi Arabia was pushing back against the Palestinian cause. They were saying, hey, we are done with this. We need to move forward. We're not going to put up with it anymore. I believe we're going to hear more and more talk of a two-state solution, even though you go back just 4 weeks, Netanyahu is saying there will never be a two-state solution. Now, we know realistically a two-state solution is very bad because we know Bible prophecy. God promises in Joel chapter 3 that he will judge the nations that seek to divide the land. Nevertheless, Trump does bring in another factor that will cause, I believe, wars to be at bay. Whatever's going to happen with Putin and Ukraine, that dynamic's probably going to change. I believe the threats of China are probably going to change because Trump brings a threat that these leaders knew about 4.5 years ago, so we didn't have all these wars and rumors of wars. We're entering into a different era. Now, granted, all of this could change. You know, we could have an assassination within the next few days or something like that. Or the globalists, they still have, what, 70 more days or something like that with the Biden regime? The economy could be collapsed. There's all different kinds of dynamics that could still be thrown in there. We know that there's this threat within the Senate to elect a speaker that will throw off everything that Trump wants to do. So lots to look at. But when we look at the Israel factor, we look at the window of opportunity that we have. To me, it shows Bible prophecy, the fulfillment of Bible prophecy isn't slowing down. It's actually speeding up right now in order for these things to be fulfilled.
Tom Hughes, my head is spinning after that clip of you because you just highlighted so many areas that could and probably will go wrong, and maybe starting with the Middle East, we don't know. As you said, there could be more assassination attempts going on because we're in those perilous times is all I'm saying. What do you think will be the focus once we get a new president installed? What will be the immediate focus?
I think Israel is going to be an immediate focus of the new presidency. And obviously, Ukraine-Russia issue. Let me bring up this also. In the book of 2 Chronicles, what happens? Sons of Issachar, David is about ready to be installed as the new king. Saul is dead. And because of that, the sons of Issachar knew what to do. So for all of your listeners, Jan, we have the Bible. We have Bible prophecy. We have a new president that is about ready to be installed, assuming he's going to make it to January 20th. What do? We're going to stay resolute. We're going to stay focused. We're going to stay in the Word. We can't turn to the left or the right, just as the Bible tells us not to do. With that, I'm looking at Israel right now. Where we are right now is a ceasefire agreement. Looks like it's reached as of right now. That is a dynamic that's going to be very interesting. For me, it is a problem for Israel, but reading Ben Shapiro says, hey, they're going into it because of the ICC issues that they've got right now, amongst other challenges. Therefore, they've been willing to enter into a ceasefire agreement, knowing that when Trump becomes president, everything's off the table again. So Ben Shapiro may be right on that. But I look at Trump, and he's going to have Israel's back. He did before. He's going to have him again. As I mentioned in the clip that you just showed, you have Saudi Arabia is going to become this player again, the normalization agreements, all of these factors. Jan, I look at the dynamic of what is taking place. what's the wars and rumors of wars going to be like at that time? Mm-hmm. So everything is progressing forward. But again, I know I said it in the clip, but I would encourage everybody, when you look at Ezekiel chapter 38, what must happen in order for Iran and Russia to come against Israel? They must be dwelling in peace
and
safety.
Dwelling in peace and safety.
38 verse 11. And years ago, I had a lot of friends that would argue, well, peace and safety is just meaning Israel's got a strong IDF. I've never felt that.
No.
I felt that it was something much more. When we look at the Hebrew word there, that really does imply tranquility. And some of my friends might want to argue on that. But nevertheless, Israel has not been in that place that's described of Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 11, since the days of Solomon. That's a long time ago. Yet the Bible tells us the battle with Russia and Iran is going to come at a time when it is unexpected. Israel will be taken by surprise. There's no way right now Israel would be taken by surprise. And another thing that leads me to believe, Jan, we just need to all be ready to be called home to hear the trumpet, because the U.S. will not be there to support Israel when that battle takes place. The U.S. at best is a protester, at best.
Exactly.
So if Trump indeed is the one that brings about what's coming with this peace and safety for Israel to feel secure, that would lead me to believe before Ezekiel chapter 38. And again, I don't know the timing of it, but it appears that we could be raptured before that takes place, because if the U.S. isn't involved, what would cause the U.S. to not be involved with Israel under a Trump presidency? The factors here are enormous when you start to look at them.
Great observation, Tom. Learn more at hopeforourtimes.com. And you just opened the door for me, and I think I'm going to walk through it. And when we get back, I want to talk for a few minutes about this horrific International Criminal Court. Benjamin Netanyahu is the supposed war criminal of planet Earth right now. Folks, if that doesn't demonstrate an upside-down world, I don't know what does. So I want to address that, and I think when we get back, I'm going to open part two with a little clip by CBN trying to explain just what is going on with this International Criminal Court. Why do people like you and me have to really be concerned personally? And just a quick word here about the passing of Hal Lindsey a week ago at age 95. And I'm going to say more about that next week. But Hal was a friend and a mentor to me. And I brought him to the Twin Cities in 2004 and 2005. And he had a profound impact on millions of people who hold to dispensational theology, as I do. And as you know, I feature that often on this program. His book, The Late Great Planet Earth, set me on a course for life. Again, I'm going to say more about this next week. So we'll be back in just a minute or two. Don't go away.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. In this age of deception and delusion, thank you for trusting Understanding the Times Radio and Olive Tree Ministries. Jan Markell's new book, When Jesus Returns, Living in Expectation of the End Times, is now available. The book is a compilation of some of the best messages given at her Understanding the Times conferences in suburban Minneapolis over 20 years. Contributors include Amir Sarfati, Jack Hibbs, Mark Hitchcock, Ed Heinzen, Jeff Kinley, and many more. And all examine these last days with hope and anticipation. Find the book in our online store at olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call our office Central Time, Monday through Friday, at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Or get on our newsletter list. When Jesus Returns, Living in Expectation of the End Times, is encouraging, uplifting, and is filled with messages that will fill you up and build you up, even in perilous times. Order yours today.
Folks, I just want to caution everybody, get ready, because I don't know what's going to happen between now and December 31, but we do know this. Everything is going according to God's plan. It is settled. He has said it, and nothing will change that, but we get to be an exciting part of His exciting plan.
You know, you can't always be by a radio, so if you miss a program, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. And then go to radio, where we feature both the audio and video version of our program. You can also catch the program at oneplace.com, on our Rumble or YouTube channel, on all of our social media, and on His channel, Christian TV. Here's Jan Markell to introduce the balance of today's programming with Tom Hughes.
The International Criminal Court has issued arrest warrants for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, his former defense minister, and Hamas officials. The warrants turn Netanyahu and Yoav Gallant into internationally wanted suspects. Here's the latest.
The warrants accuse Netanyahu and Gallant of war crimes and crimes against humanity over the war in Gaza, and Hamas for the October 7th attacks that triggered Israel's offensive. The ICC decision would put Netanyahu and Gallant at risk of arrest if they traveled to certain countries. Back in May, when the ICC threatened arrest warrants, Netanyahu called it a moral outrage of historic proportions. The warrants come as Israel fights wars on its southern border with Hamas and Hezbollah in Lebanon.
Prime Minister Netanyahu swiftly defended Israel's actions in Gaza.
No war is more just than the war that Israel has been waging in Gaza after Hamas attacked us unprovoked.
Israeli President Isaac Herzog wrote the decision has turned universal justice into a universal laughingstock. The ICC charges Netanyahu and Gallant are guilty of the war crime of starvation as a method of warfare and the crimes against humanity of murder, persecution, and other inhumane acts.
We are accused of deliberately harming civilians while we are doing everything to prevent harm to civilians. We are accused of starving a population while we are bringing hundreds of thousands of tons of food to feed the population.
The ICC's charges came amid evidence of another international organization's bias against Israel. A new report from the group UN Watch said a former United Nations Relief and Works Agency Commissioner General held a secret meeting in 2017 with terrorist groups including Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad. There, the UNRWA chief reportedly told them, "We are one, and no one can separate us." As for the ICC warrants, they mean Netanyahu or Gallant could be arrested if they go to certain countries accepting the court's authority. Nations such as Ireland and the Netherlands agreed right away to do it if given the chance.
And to those countries, Netanyahu won't be able to travel, and that's a very, very big thing.
Netanyahu's hoping for a tough backlash against the court.
This decision will have severe consequences for the ICC and those who cooperate with its decision.
President-elect Trump's soon-to-be National Security Advisor, Congressman Mike Waltz, promises you can expect a strong response to the anti-Semitic bias of the ICC and UN come January.
Welcome back. You're listening to Understanding the Times. I have on the line from Southern California, Tom Hughes. You hear him on this program quite often. You know what, Tom? I think the world is brimming with tyrants, with thugs, with dictators who really should be the ones being absconded right now. And yet they're going after one of the leaders of the free world to throw him in jail, Benjamin Netanyahu. My conclusion, and give me your perspective, my conclusion is that the world is clearly obsessed with Israel, desperately wanting the implementation of Zechariah 12:3, isolating her from the entire world. But give me your thoughts.
That was exactly the passage I was going to quote while you were talking. The whole world is going to turn against the nation of Israel, and specifically Jerusalem. Again, we have this new administration that's going to come in, and that's going to change the dynamic. But this goes back to earlier in the program. Are the globalists just going to quit and say, let's just give up? This is obvious with a resounding no when you look at the International Criminal Court. They could care less about Trump. So the judge that's bringing this case, the one who's driving it, I think his name's Kamir Khan. He was a former Lebanese ambassador. Yes. He's this radical Muslim. What also is interesting, it's Alan Dershowitz is now on board to go
Very
and fight.
Very interesting. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up.
he's on board to fight against this now. You know, he's been moving closer and closer to this side for quite some time now, last 8 years. A lot of it has to do with he's recognizing what is happening to the Jewish people. And this is something I think everybody needs to be aware of. It's not just happening to Jews who are on the right, who are conservative. It is anti-Jewish across the board, whether you are Democrat or Republican. A case in point is October 7, 2023. Yes. When the attack happened, it happened against kibbutzim, the people living there. They're left-leaning.
Far left-leaning. I'm so glad you said it.
Yeah, so the enemy of our souls knows this, that Jesus is coming back. He's going to rule and reign from Jerusalem, and Israel will still be here. And Israel is going to cry out, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The devil must keep Israel, the Jews, from calling out the name of Jesus to save them, because that's when he's going to come back at the end of the tribulation period. So what's he have to do? He must eliminate the Jews from the planet. It doesn't matter if you're left or right, Democrat or Republican. The enemy has to do this. The International Criminal Court is an attack on the nation of Israel. Israel's being attacked. The geographical locations are always under attack, and the Jewish individual is under attack. And Jan, we know that this is going to zero more and more on Jerusalem itself. October 7, 2023, what did Hamas actually say? Almost a year and a half ago now, they called it the Al-Aqsa flood. They know what it's about. It's Jerusalem. And from the ICC, people like that, Kamir Khan, he knows it's really about Jerusalem. They want Jerusalem, and they want to go back to a two-state solution. Well, that's ridiculous. They don't really want a two-state solution. They want a one state with no Israel, with no Jew. So we look at this with the International Criminal Court. The implications are enormous, although there might not be tremendous teeth, especially when Trump comes along. It's still huge, because in that clip you just played, Ireland said they're going to go along with it. We know the UK in general is. Yeah. Netherlands, Canada's going to go along with it. What does this mean? It means that if Netanyahu is flying somewhere and his plane has a problem and he has to land in Canada, guess what? He gets arrested.
Exactly.
This is insane. Also, just recently, Australia voted with the UN to recognize a Palestinian state. So the attack is clearly against Israel. And again, it's a wake-up call to all our Jewish friends. I don't care if you're on the right or left. We see the attacks in Australia and Canada that are increasing against the Jews. And may God bless our friends who are watching us and support with viewership in both Australia and Canada. But we're watching the anti-Semitism in these places. And God bless you guys, because I know you're pushing against it. But we look at this increasing, and you're going, what in the world is going on? If you're Jewish, the only safe place you have right now is in Israel, a country that's under this threat of war. That's the reality of where we live. Not only that, Jan, but with this ICC ruling, it could go this far. If you're photographed with Netanyahu and you go visit one of these countries, it's implied that you could be arrested for being complicit in these war crimes.
Again, folks, who's being overlooked in this scenario? How about the tyrants? How about thugs like Bashar Assad in Syria, who's killed 500,000 of his own people? How about the Ayatollahs of Iran? Do you see the International Criminal Court coming against the Ayatollahs, who would like to nuke a lot of people on this planet? How about North Korea's strongman? How about Vladimir Putin, who's trying to incinerate Ukraine? None of those are on the list. Benjamin Netanyahu, really? Tom, this is such an upside-down world. This world is not my home. I'm transitioning just in the interest of time, and you are listening to Understanding the Times Radio, and you very graciously had me on your program a week or so ago, and we talked about some of the top Bible prophecy signs in 2024. I'm just going to give my list. I'm not going to go into any detail, and then I want your feedback on a couple of these, and I put sort of in order the top 10 things that have happened in 2024. As it concerns the lateness of the hour, cheering for the Antichrist, number one. And what jarred my mind to think that way was when those in the presence of Kamala Harris a couple months ago shouted, Jesus is Lord. And of course, they were put down because of the spirit of Antichrist that I sense in their midst. Number two would be announcing the Antichrist. That would have been at the Summer Olympics last July, August. I'm not sure who can forget some of the images coming out of those Olympics, including somebody riding on a white horse, which opened the whole ceremony, followed by a couple of weeks of debauchery. Number three, We've already talked about it, Tom. The globalists' heads are spinning. They had a pact for the future, which was to lay out global government. That was in September. Then we have Noah Harari's statement. Trump is the death blow. Number four would be a lot of Americans saying enough is enough as we've watched America be dismantled. The fact that Americans have simply said enough. Number five, the whole world was spared an assassination of a leading political leader, Donald Trump. Number six, twice, Tom, we have watched Israel be attacked with hundreds and hundreds of bombardments coming from Iran. Again, Psalm 121, he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Number seven, I think it became fashionable to hate the Jews worldwide. Number eight, I'm seeing the remnant grow smaller because there's such a few of us who are longing for his appearing and the pulpits are silent. Number nine would be sympathy for the devil. In other words, the world is cheering for Hamas, not Israel. And number 10 would be the creation is groaning more than ever. We're seeing Romans 8:22, which would be the groanings of creation. The closer we get to the Lord's return and the rapture, the more intense some of these groanings are to become, according to the Bible. Does anything in that list of 10 stand out to you?
I hate to say it, but all 10 do. But I'll just start at the top. So cheering for Antichrist, you referenced the Kamala Harris, the whole thing. She's up there talking. Somebody says Jesus is Lord. Jesus isn't welcome here, whatever her response was. Well, no kidding. He obviously isn't. Hey, at least she admitted it. I don't think she meant it to come out that way. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We see a world that hates Jesus. They do not want the Jesus of the Bible. I mean, this Jesus has been kicked out of churches. Remember, Jan, if you go back probably 30 years ago, the churches that would start saying, we only teach the red letters of the Bible.
Well, the Pope of that just passed away, Tony Campolo.
I didn't even know he passed away. Well, they won't even teach the red letters anymore because too many of them contain certain things like the Olivet Discourse regarding the second coming of Christ and other passages that they just don't want to believe, or even the miracles of Jesus. So they won't even teach anything regarding the Bible anymore in churches, but the world is cheering for Antichrist. We know 1 Timothy chapter 4, in the last days, doctrines of demons, deceiving spirits will be taught. The warning Paul's giving is in the church, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. So it's no wonder, since the church is this way, that you have it in the political realm. And even on the right, although we might be in agreement with a lot of things politically on the right, I want to be able to fight for pro-life. I want to be able to stand up for marriage between a man and a woman. We may agree politically on some things, and I think the right platform gives me more of an opportunity to do that, although it's not perfect. Still, the problem is, even on the right, there's a lot of people, I met them in the political world, they don't want the Bible. There was a very well-known person, I will not mention their name. I was interviewing them a while back, and I said, Bible prophecy speaks of this point right here that you just made. And he looked at me and he said, well, that's your thing. Then he moved on. This is somebody who's very well known on the right, who people have thought is this Bible-believing Christian, but it became clear to me that's not what he is about. So the world is being set up on both the left and the right for that leader that is going to come along. But this leader is going to be a unifier too. And I think we need to keep that in mind. Right now, it seems like most leaders just divide. But the leader, Antichrist, he's going to be a unifier. He's going to be somebody that both sides are going to gather around and say, we finally made it. And I believe we are totally being set up for that. Kamala Harris spoke what the world apart from Christ really thinks. We have no room for Jesus here in this world. Like you said, this world is not our home. Praise the Lord.
Be sure to catch Tom Hughes' prophecy updates 4 or 5 times a week, various platforms, YouTube, Rumble, hopeforourtimes.com. They're fantastic. They're 20, 30 minutes, almost once a day, more than I can wrap my head around, Tom, because it's a lot of work and I happen to know it. The other thing I referenced in my lineup here of 10, I think this has blown me away more than anything, and I don't know why, because the Bible does foreshadow it, and that was the fact that the world has had sympathy for the devil. And I don't mean a Rolling Stones song. I mean the world has had sympathy for Hamas and fellow terrorists who want to beat up on Israel and annihilate her. But this is who the world gravitated to in the last year. And to the point, what hostages? Are there hostages? Oh, I'd forgotten about the hostages. We've still got people who are underground, and some of them Americans. Who talks about it?
Well, nobody does. Certainly, the current administration wouldn't talk about it. So you look at this, and think it's absolutely appalling. Why is this happening? Because they are Jews.
Yes.
This goes back to what we were talking about earlier. You have Bashar Assad, who slaughtered, you mentioned 500,000 and counting, by the way. Yeah. He's still slaughtering people. He goes on this global international speech stuff, put all over Western media, saying how appalled he is at Israel for what he does to the Palestinians. Yet, the so-called Palestinians who have relocated to Syria, guess what he does with them? He kills them and buries them in graves, and nobody talks about that. They won't mention it because it's Muslims that are doing it. And I got to go back to this also with what they were saying earlier in the video that you opened up with. When it comes to the nation of Israel and the world cheering for Antichrist and all the different things, sympathy for the devil, is that when you look at what has happened with Israel being blamed, actually it's being said that they are starving the people of Gaza. The lies are unbelievable. And how much information is out there that is suppressed that proves Israel has done what they could to get food into Gaza, to help out the people of Gaza, to make it a war not on Gaza, but repeatedly these terrorists use the people as human shields, and they want the casualties as high as possible. And these terrorists don't even care if the casualties come from their own weapons, because they'll still blame it on Israel. Well, they wouldn't have died if it wasn't a war with Israel. Mm-hmm. So the whole media is against them. It is certainly sympathy for the devil. The current administration really is anti-Israel. I don't care what anybody says. They hide behind the rhetoric of we really care about Israel, but let's tie your hands behind your back and see how you fight now. So the things we are watching are just absolutely lies. And we need to be sharing programs like this that you have, Jan, with everybody that we know, because it's the only way we can get the word out, because the lies, man, they're traveling all over the world. We're fighting against the UN and all these great big institutions that have billions of dollars when it comes to the propaganda, but we have the truth. Listen, everybody, just share this programs with everybody that you know. It gets the truth out there, and it helps Jan to be able to combat the lies with the truth.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. Jan Markell, have on the line from Southern California, Tom Hughes. Learn more at hopeforourtimes.com. Sort of in conjunction with what we just talked about, sympathy for the devil. Tom, my point number seven, it's become cool. It's fashionable to hate the Jews worldwide, but everybody needs to be on guard, because first they come for the Saturday people, and then they come for the Sunday people, and then anyone standing in the way. But first it's the Jews, then it's the Christians. And I think Christians need to really listen up with this point.
I don't think that most Christians are paying any attention. If you go back through history, you start to realize the reality of it as Islam got stronger and stronger through the centuries. You realize what they really are all about. But they're going to come for the Sunday people too, meaning the Christians. Basically, everybody's an infidel that's not Muslim is really what it comes down to. You're put into one category or another. But here's what I believe, Jan. The Jews are the primary target because, as I mentioned earlier, the devil must do everything he can to keep the Jews from saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. However, the Christians are a problem because genuine believers in Christ are the ones who stand in the gap spiritually, blessing Israel. The genuine believers do. So we're a target. And if you go back to the first century, what was it that was a target of the original Roman Empire? It was the Jews and the Christians. They were the ones that are being persecuted. When you get to the second coming of Christ, what do you have that's going to be the target? We know biblically it's going to be the Jews and it's going to be the Christians. And what's happening is not just Muslims. The Muslims are definitely coming after the Sunday people too, but it's recognizing all of the anti-Israel rhetoric that's coming from Muslims. It's also starting to come from more and more people going to colleges, which means they're just going to get older and have kids and teach them the same things. But we're seeing it across the media also. And again, it's not just Muslims anymore. It's people who are buying into the ideology. It's absurd. The LGBTQ community jumps on board with Hamas. Well, that makes absolutely no sense. They'll kill you in a second. They're buying into this. They're just going along with it. They're believing what they're being told by their college professors or by MSNBC or whatever it is. And waking up to the reality of it, that you are a problem and they want to eliminate you also, but they're going after the Jew first.
Let's look at this point for just an extra minute or so. And I'm sure you particularly, and you've been a pastor a lot of years, and we kind of keep track of the remnant, and people can say, well, what's a remnant? It's a segment of Christianity, faith, believers, that let's just say is They're longing for his appearing. They truly want to discern the times. They're having some problems finding a pulpit that might address our times because basically the church has checked out in this department. Not totally, of course. So I'm seeing, therefore, the remnant shrink, though they're wonderful. I mean, you've got a lot of remnant followers, and I do too. But where do you see this going in the new year? Do you think that the remnant might increase because they're resting in the fact that we've got an adult back in our leadership? Where do you think the remnant might go?
The remnant themselves, genuine remnant, individually will get stronger. I'm convinced of it.
Good.
We think of Gideon's army. Yeah. Well, Gideon's army got stronger, although they were less in number. But they themselves became stronger, full of the Lord. God brought them victory. So the individual remnant will get stronger. Whether or not they'll grow in numbers, we'll soon find out. If we think back to 2020, I won't mention too much here, but I'm pretty sure both you and I were hearing the same things. There are a lot of people that stopped going to churches.
Yeah.
They stopped all the way around. And especially when it came to Bible prophecy, they didn't want to hear it anymore. However, the flip side of that was, how many people, Jan, have come across to you through comments, through emails, or people you've met who have said, in 2020, 2021, I started waking up, something seemed wrong, and I was led to your program. Repeatedly, we have heard that. Right. Every conference I go to, every single one, no exception, there's always people who come up to me like that. So that shows that although a lot of people were separated, like the wheat and the chaff, God's been calling other people. I think of one person in particular, Allison Steinberg, who used to be with OAN News. She is working in Hollywood, on Hollywood Boulevard, doing makeup for A-listers. 2020, 2021 came around, and all of a sudden she said, hey, something's wrong. She gets saved. She starts following programs like yours and mine and just growing incredibly in the Lord. That story happened throughout the last 3 years. I believe it still will. However, with the new administration and people thinking we don't have to be as concerned anymore, persecution causes the church to grow. And I'm concerned about that. But I do believe the remnant themselves will definitely get stronger, whether or not that number will be added to. I hope so. I hope there's a great end time harvest. In fact, I think that probably needs to be a lot of our focus is the end time harvest. And what does that involve? That involves us getting out the message, telling people as much as we possibly can, because things are definitely not slowing down. And I want to encourage all of those who are out there that consider themselves the remnant, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. When you look at Ezekiel, when the threats were coming against Israel, Ezekiel is writing, he's prophesying from the Lord, and the perverted things were happening in the house of the Lord. Ezekiel was told to put a mark on them who were separated and appalled at the evil that the men were doing, and then go and slaughter everybody else. And it was a remnant that Ezekiel says. May we be continuing to grow as the remnant in body, mind, and spirit in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Tom, I'm down to a couple of minutes here, and I could ask a lot of questions, but our time will run out. What is the one thought you would like to leave my audience with? We have only a few weeks left of 2024, and then my goodness, who knows what? I think we've teased everybody with a lot of things to ponder, but if you had one thought left, what would it be?
I would remember you wrote down in your article, the God who keeps Israel never slumbers or sleep, neither does he slumber sleep with us. And you also wrote this in your article, Jen. You said, twice we watched Israel attacked with a massive Iranian bombardment, and we watched the miracle that God had done. God gave Israel the ability, the mind to be able to build the things they did. But folks, we've been watching miracle after miracle. I was just in Israel recently, as you know, Jan, and there is some unbelievable things that are happening there that you don't see. But I was part of a worship service with Arabs and Jews who have both come to Christ, worshiping the Lord. And it was so cool. Everywhere I was going, I was seeing an alertness. The atheists there were more open to talk to me than they were before. Mm. Granted, there's still a hardness of heart, but we still need to remember Jesus is on the throne. He is doing miraculous things. God is going to save his people. And then the trumpet's going to sound. But folks, I just want to caution everybody, get ready, because I don't know what's going to happen between now and December 31. But we do know this, everything is going according to God's plan. It is settled, he has said it, and nothing will change that, but we get to be an exciting part of his exciting plan.
Tom, thank you for all you do. Again, folks, catch the prophecy updates that are almost daily. We carry Tom's book, Marking the Masses, in my online store, olivetreeviews.org, and go to our products. Again, thank you, Tom. Folks, I want to go out, and you hear me use this closing a lot, but I think in light of the conversation that we've had this hour, it's even more appropriate. It says this, when the time was right, the sea parted, the walls fell down, the lions went hungry, the sun stood still, the waves were calm, and the stone was rolled away. The clouds were parted, the Lord ascended. And when the time is right, the King of Kings, he will return. God is never early, and he's never late. He's always right on time. And his plan for you is good. As we start to morph into a new year, folks, I hope you'll keep that in mind. That his plan for you is good. I want to thank you for listening, and we will talk to you again next week.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. We have a front row seat to what may be the last act of a major drama, the conclusion of the church age. You have been called for such a time as this. You are here on assignment as we watch all of the predicted events foretold in the Bible fall into place.